In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have often heard these words of Jesus Christ. If ye have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. And this is in response to the fact that the apostles, his disciples, could not heal a man. There was a mountain in their way. He told them that this mountain was their unbelief. And if they had had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, that mountain of their unbelief would be moved away, and they would have been able to heal the man. That's what's in the scripture. Strangely enough, we've taken these words and reinterpreted them according to our primary faith and belief in the world and in ourselves, and come up with some really strange ideas. That if only I had sufficient faith, I would be able to do the things in the world that I desire to do. But that has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on in the scripture or with Jesus' answer to the disciples. Father Lev Gillet points this out to us clearly. And he says that Christ is emphasizing the difference between the mountain that needs to move if we are going to be able to do the things that we can do in synergy with God, and the smallness of the necessary faith in order for that to happen. I wish I could say that having been for 10 days on the Holy Mountain, my life has changed. I am different. The sad fact is that I am the same person who went to the Holy Mountain. I'm very determined not to return with some sense of delusion. I'm very determined not to return with some strengthening of the way that I was when I went there. I'm determined not to take the things that I saw and the things that I participated in and add them to the way I am now as ways of strengthening that conviction that I am at the center of my life and that I am the way I ought to be, and that this is something that I can add to myself to strengthen a faith that is so weak, that is so small. In my preparation to go to the Holy Mountain, while we were at the Diocesan Assembly in Dallas, I went to a monk priest who had been on Mount Athos for 6 years for confession. And I opened my heart to him and gave him my concerns, the things that I was most concerned about, the ways in which I am not able to deal with my life and with others as I know I ought to be able to do, and my concern that I was not equal to the task of going there and passing through all of the grueling rigor, spiritual rigor, not just physical rigor, where we rely on our own strength. In both cases, I was concerned that I was unprepared. He reassured me and told me that the Holy Mountain is open to everyone. And women will say, but it's not open to us. That's not true. The spiritual life of the Holy Mountain is open to everyone. There are monasteries of nuns who are living the same spiritual life, but that's another issue. At any rate, I was reassured, and I went, and I was able to go to another priest monk on the Holy Mountain for confession, and I gave him my concerns again, and I gave him a particular question, difficulty that I am not able to deal with, pastorally in my life as a priest. English was not his first language, and yet there was good communication between us. And I found that, having been blessed by him, I understood something in a different way, directly related to the question that I had asked him. The beginning of my spiritual life, and I think the beginning of the spiritual life of most of us, begins when we love someone else more than we love ourselves. In my own life, there is a truth that I felt that I gained from that experience of loving someone else more than myself at a very young age. But there was also a way of understanding how it might be that we can love others that was only partly true. There was a truth in it, but it was a partial truth. And that way of understanding was causing me difficulty in my life as a priest and as a person. What I thought I had discovered was that if you genuinely love someone, you are able to see them as God created them. You are able to see something in them that others who don't love that person can't see, something that is not obvious even to that person themselves. There is a truth in that. It has to do with the love that you have of that person. But there is something about that that isn't true, and that's what I discovered. It is not as if there is inside of each one of us the real person that God created us to be, already there, and that the actions that we do in the world are departures from that perfect person that God created us to be, which is at some level already there. That's not true. The fact of the matter is that we are able, as God has created us, to create ourselves in the image and likeness of the world. We are able, by way of self-love, to create something that is really who we are. A broken person, a person of self-love, a person without the capacity to exercise obedience, a person who rejects others as separate from themselves and inferior. A kind of self-affirmation takes place in us, and we create a false person that we love more than we love God. So long as we love anything of this world, and especially ourselves, first, and God second, true faith is not possible for us. We have a mountain of unbelief. And that's what needs to be dealt with. We are, in fact, each one of us, the person that we have created. When Jesus says that we should love one another as he loves us, it means that we have to love the sometimes very unlovable persons that other people have made themselves to be. And we are all in the same condition. I am no different. None of us is different. He calls us to love one another as he loved us. And by this love, others will know that we are his disciples. And so it's not possible for us to have an idealistic vision of each person that we meet and think to ourselves, inside, way down deep, this person is like Christ. But I see the fact that they are constantly judgmental, self-loving, distrustful, disobedient, all of the things that for the most part we are all ourselves. The difficult fact is that we are called to love one another, not as we might be, but as we are right now. We are called to love the other person as they have created themselves in all of that unlovableness, with all of those difficulties that are causing them so much pain, and in fact causes us so much pain to love them. It is a self-sacrificial love. By loving others, we decrease the self-love that we have. That's how it actually is. That's the reality of things. And it is possible to do that. The fact of the matter is that the person that God created us to be is not somehow hidden in ourselves. The person God created us to be is hidden in Christ. And so there has to be, for each one of us, a love of God first, even with the faith the size of the grain of mustard seed, if we are going to move at all toward being Christ-like. It's going to cost each one of us the same thing that it costs each one of us to love another person. That is the truth. And the good news is that it is possible to do that. And in fact, Christ has commanded us to do that. He says, "I give you a commandment. Love one another as I have loved you." He doesn't love us because we are lovable. He loves us as we are. Love one another as I have loved you. Not just accepting the person in all of their sins and all of their spiritual disorientation and bentness and brokenness, and accepting that as the final reality, of course. That isn't how Christ loves us. He loves us knowing that by his love, if we return his love, we will begin to change. Now, it's not true what the non-Orthodox say about the Orthodox, that our salvation depends on our changing. That's not true. God does love us, just like it says on signs all along the highway. He does accept us as we are, but if we refuse to return his love, if we refuse the self-sacrificial love of others, who are oftentimes very unlovable, then we will suffer. We will suffer through our lives by not being as God created us to be. There will be a limit to our ability to love others. Even those that we love most of all, there will be that mountain, there will be that barrier. And that had a great deal to do with the question that I asked. How can I deal with the fact that we as human beings are as we are? My way of doing it is not working. And I was given an understanding. I may not be able to share that firsthand understanding with you, because I'm giving you words, I'm giving you ideas, but I am giving you the best gift that I can give you from the Holy Mountain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.